I would like to read with you again, please, in Luke's Gospel in chapter 23. Luke's Gospel in chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, and just for the sake of connection, verse 32. Luke 23 and verse 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. When they came to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with him derided him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. The soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that means it is true, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now, please over to Romans in chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, Luke, John, Acts, and then the Romans. Chapter 10. Romans 10 and verse number 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness which is of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. Now notice verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, Say not in thine heart, Who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. I've really read these two passages simply for two verses that have two little words in them, expressions that are seldom on these particular two occasions. Luke chapter 23, we read the words of this thief when he said this, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. Then we read in Romans 10 and 9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, that's maybe a word that we likely wouldn't use, but it is just so personal and so directive. A little expression, if thou. Let me say this, that what we have in Luke chapter 23 is the expression at its worst. A man that says, if thou be Christ, Save thyself and us. That's all he said. And then in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, it's the expression at its best, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Those two little expressions, on them tonight hinges your eternal future. If not saved in the meeting tonight, regardless of how agreeable you may be to the gospel that you are hearing and have heard, and what you may maybe even would defend when it come right to the argument of it, the reason that you're not saved is because in the whole of your experience, there's one great big if. If it's really true, if there's really this hell that we've been hearing about, if there's really a place called the lake of fire, and if there's really a God, maybe. Well, listen, my friend, God doesn't need you to declare him or to define him. Sometimes people think that if they believe something, it would be true. That it suddenly would be a tremendous credit to them if they believe that there's a hell. My friends, listen, the Bible states absolute clear language that there is such a place in a real heaven. And a Savior that died on Calvary's cross. This Bible isn't out to argue that tonight. We are stating very clear facts from the Word of God that you can be saved and know your sins forgiven on the language of Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, because God says it. Now, either one of them, my friend, takes you into them. Either you can come, you see, that confession of Christ isn't you standing at the front of some building and making your confession and maybe following it with some type of baptism. It isn't you standing up in some congregation and making a declaration of the articles of your faith that you'll come to believe. When a person confesses Christ, what they do is this. They confess something to God they could never do before. They confess that Christ, God's Son, has died for me. That's a confession of Christ. Because that's what the apostle desires, is that they would be saved. That they would come to a knowledge of truth. But you see, in your experience, there has never been that. Oh, you may believe about it. You may have a fair understanding of it. But if not saved tonight, then you're back in Luke chapter 23. Maybe you aren't a malefactor. Maybe you haven't stolen from anybody. I hope you haven't. Maybe you haven't run alongside the law. Maybe you live a very clear moral life. But if not saved, let me remind you again, everything tonight in the whole of your experience is literally colored with this one word, if. Now, we're speaking from Luke chapter 23. It's one of the chapters of the four gospels that describe to us the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. And we come upon these two thieves. Interesting. The one that got saved, a lot of people know about him. Wouldn't know where it's found. But when you remind them of the urgency of being saved, the first thing they say is, well, what about the thief? So you say to them, well, which thief? Well, you know, the one that went to heaven, they say. That's the one that we call the repentant thief. And obviously we call him the repentant thief because that's what he did. And you haven't yet. What would you call the other man? I sometimes like to put a caption over people. We know who the rich young ruler is. We know who the man is that came to the Lord Jesus by night. What would you put over this man other than just calling him the other thief? Do you know the truth of it? What he is tonight? He's the man that went from Calvary to hell. From Calvary to hell. The first to go. In gospel preaching, gospel preachers for ages have said, and rightly so, have you been to Calvary? People are saved understand that language. They don't mean a trip across and visit Gordon's Calvary of the Holy Land. They mean a moment in your experience when you come to appreciate something happened at Calvary for me. That Christ died for me. And so they say, well, have you been to Calvary? This man had been to Calvary, but he never made it to heaven. A man that went from Calvary to hell. Almost a bone-chilling expression, isn't it? It's true. You know, I learned something from this man. It's very solemn. It's this. There was not a man, and there is not a man in your Bible that saw more and believed less. It proves to me that seeing is not believing. Because there was absolutely nothing about Calvary to be seen that this man didn't see. More than that, there was nothing about Calvary that he didn't hear that could be heard. Tell me, who was closer? Judas, we say, kissed the door of heaven. Judas never saw what this man saw. Judas was long gone when they brought him outside that city. This man heard the crowds as they cried, away with him, away with him. We'll not have this man rule over us. He was there to see any response or reaction to that crowd because he was right with them. He was going to be crucified with him, Luke's gospel. This man saw that moment come. It says that they crucified him and the other two thieves or malefactors with him. This thief actually maybe even fighting those that were trying to restrain him and hang on to him. But he actually saw the Savior willingly put those hands out. Allow those soldiers to pick up that hammer and strap them to the tree. Saw. He saw that face masked in the spittle of men. He saw. Actually saw. I speak to some of this gospel meaning, and you think that if you saw what this man saw, you would be saved? No. This tells me different. You wouldn't. Nobody closer. Nobody to see it better than he did. He saw it all. He saw that blessed brow, so marked by that crown of thorns, as they turned that form to nail the Son of God to that tree. He'd see that back, so plowed. He'd see that precious blood that was shed. He saw everything that was to see. He would see them, nail them to that cross, and then uplift them. And then it would be his own crucifixion. He would hear everything there was to hear, because remember, the Lord Jesus died before either thief died. He would hear those words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That doesn't register with him. Doesn't sink in. Something desperately is wrong. He saw that. He would hear him cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Nothing got through to that thief that he's being forsaken for him. And it hasn't for you either. Isn't that tragic? Think of it for a minute. The rich young ruler, we talk about this coming nigh to the kingdom and missing it. Rich young ruler never saw this. Judas never saw it. Abner only a step from safety. He never saw it. But this man saw it. This man heard it all. Everything the Lord Jesus was going to offer, he was going to hear it, and he heard it. He actually heard him cry, it is finished. You imagine those words, one word in the Greek language, one word drilling itself into that man's soul after being taken down from that cross where his soul already was in hell. Solemn. Actually heard it. I sit and speak with people time and again and say, Mr. McCallis, I sometimes ask them, I say, do you suppose if you were at Calvary, do you suppose if you stood among that crowd that day and saw all that, do you think you would, I would believe what they said. No, you wouldn't. No, you would not, because this Bible says you wouldn't. This man stands in monumental testimony to the truth. You wouldn't believe it. Because he did this. the Lord Jesus would actually die before those thieves. Death could not be in his presence. This man's language, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. In other words, get us out. Just get me out of these circumstances. Get me out of this mess that I'm in. Look, friend, I don't know what you came for this gospel really for. We're just glad you're here. Believe me, we are. Thankful you've come. Delighted to have you. What'd you come for? Did you come to find out a way off of a road that is taking you to a place you don't want to go to? Or would you just kind of let, maybe just kind of like out of the mess that sin has got you in this life? This man just said, salvation? A coming kingdom? He's not interested in it. But could you please get me out of this mess? He says, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. Isn't it tragic to think of some cradled in the gospel? Heard it all there is to hear. And their language is no different. If thou be the Christ, wait a minute now. Wait a minute. Let me tell you what the thief didn't hear. To my knowledge, there's no record of it. A Sunday school teacher sitting down with an open Bible and saying to him, this is how you get saved. Now let me tell you what a savior that that involves for us. You ever heard that? You ever heard the gospel preacher talk about two thieves? One that died and went to heaven, one that died and went to Calvin or the hell. That's the one you're hearing about it tonight. Did you hear that? That's where he is when you're hearing about it tonight. Why? Because he was a thief? No. Oh, there's two of them. Why? Because he didn't see enough? Well, what more would you want to see? He didn't believe hard enough? No. Was a case of whether he believed hard enough or he didn't. There was a case that this man here just simply died as he lived, as you are in this meeting tonight, in total rank unbelief. Steeled against it. And he literally sunk his teeth into a decision that he made, and he was going to back up on it. Let me ask you something. What did he have to lose by getting saved? Really, think about it. Hey, he wasn't going to be around with the boys next morning. He wouldn't be at the local coffee shop joking about the gospel meeting the night before. Oh, you say people don't do that? Wonder what will come out of your lips tomorrow morning after you sat in this. You realize you're one of few people in the city of Vancouver listening to what you're hearing tonight? Will it change the language that you use tomorrow that you use today? Or are you just going to go back in that world like you came into this meeting tonight? This man had absolutely nothing to lose by getting saved. Everything to gain. I mean, what do you got to lose by getting saved? What have you got to lose by trusting Christ as your Savior? Oh, my friends, I think tonight I can just simply look at the Word of God and thank God for this truth, that while we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. You know what? Listen, God wasn't asking him to repay anything. What did the other man do? He couldn't be baptized. He couldn't join a church. He couldn't give money to the church. You know all he had to do? Not confess his sins. He just had to confess Christ. That's all the other thief did. That is all. He wouldn't do it. You big enough to do it tonight? You big enough to face your need? And get down off your horse at a level where you could get saved? Or do you think you're a little too big tonight that you can take on God? Well, I want to tell you, my friend, don't you go into that ring, or you'll come out second best. I don't know how big this man thought he was, but this man simply slips off the page of Bible, Holy Writ, and sinks into a Christless grave without a Savior that was so close, so close, so close. Think of it in hell tonight. Others in their horror would say, "What? You were actually telling me? You were actually there?
I mean, sir, you saw this and you're here?
Well, I'll be your shock if that'll be.
What we're preaching tonight, you die in your sins and go down to hell and they stay in. Just tell me that you sat up when you drive gospel home and you didn't get the fuck wrong.
When a father like you had and you missed it, died in your sins and went to hell,
what was wrong with you? You know what's wrong with you tonight, friend? You can't bring yourself to Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. Oh, says the apostle, say not in thy heart. Who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. He's already come. The nation didn't want to believe that. The people to whom he's speaking did not want to accept that. Or say not in thine heart. Who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. Oh, what saith it? The word is nigh thee and in thy mouth. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I will never preach these two expressions, but think about the first time I ever preached them. I was at a Fredericton conference, and I will tell you, 2 years ago, Mr. Dale Vitale and I were having gospel meetings. And there's a lady in our assembly, and she still is in our assembly today, Marika Parley, very dear sister, and my wife is very friendly with all the sisters, they get along fine, but Marika would be her favorite. But I'll tell you this much, Shirley's husband, that's me, was no favorite of Marika's husband. Big Lloyd, great big fellow, 6'2", Peter knows him well. Come to gospel meeting, sometimes be the only one there. I see him sit in a tent yet and grab a hold of the chair, and we preach and preach away at him. Walk right through that tent, smile. When he's at the conference, most of the people coming up to him calling him brother look like a Christian. He's a Christian. Have a sing at the house, and he'd say, put up the windows, let the neighbors hear. I said, I listen to their songs all the time. They hear what we're singing. He wasn't saved, sir. Wasn't saved. I'll tell you, he made up his mind. You know what he made up his mind? That he's going to get saved? No. There's something else he made up his mind about before that. He promised his wife tried to get him to promise not to say it when he told how he got saved, but he wouldn't. He made up his mind that if I ever get saved, I'll never get saved at Murray McCandless' gospel meetings. Never! I didn't think he was going to either. We used to go to that house and visit that big fella, get down on our knees and pray, and he'd sit on the bench. I said to Dale, I said, if he doesn't get down today, we're not praying, and I'm not going any further, I'm leaving the house. But I often do this, but I looked underneath the table and down came those two big knees while 220 pounds got down on their knees. I felt like looking under the table at Dale and giving him a thumbs up because I thought he's coming. My, it's good to see a man come down. I want to tell you, you'll come down in time or you'll come down in eternity. But you're going to come down. That big fellow started to come down. That was Friday night. Sunday night gospel meeting. We had the gospel meeting that night, and the place was packed. There were two seats left, these two right here. I saw them bring the folks in, and I saw Marika come in with Lloyd. Oh, boy, he used to sit there. That's where he's at. We preached. I saw the tears start to go down that man's face. I saw him put his hand down in his Bible. He raised it, and that meant he never closed his Bible when the meeting finished. And that meeting was finished, he rose. He came up to me with his hand fixed firmly on Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. He says, do you believe what this verse says? Well, I says, I believe it with all my heart. What about you? He says, so do I. For the first time, he says, I realize that Christ has died for me. Well, need I tell you, that was a changed conference that night. Trusted Christ as the Savior. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Jesus is Lord, Believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. To hear that man stand on his feet, maybe on a Sunday morning for not a minute, brethren, maybe 45 seconds. But thank God for the giving of his son, melts every heart in that company. Because they knew his past. Which is it tonight? If thou art best, or if thou art worse. If thou art worse, are these words. If thou be the Christ. Don't need to say it some more. God will hear that. Or Romans 10 and 9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Jesus is Lord. Isn't that the blind man that we heard tonight? He only had to say one word. Didn't have to talk about sight or anything else. Lord. Lord. Was all. No man calleth him Lord but by the Spirit. The only way you can receive him is as Lord. Why not trust him tonight? Simply in your heart of hearts, confess to God something you have never done before. And that is that Jesus did die for me. Me, the guilty sinner. So undeserving. Because one or the other, God will either take your word for it, as he did this other thief. It's not true. Or you can take God's word for it and confess it to Christ. I believe God. Shall we pray? Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we bow tonight, and we can relate to the blindness that we've been hearing about. We think, our Father, of the tremendous darkness that blinded us. Not only were we in darkness, but thy word tells us that we were darkness. There was absolutely no light in us. We wandered on in the darkness. Not a ray of light could we see. Wondered if Christ the Redeemer could save a poor sinner like me. O God, in thy mercy thou hast saved us, plucked us from the very edge of eternity. And we bless thee for what thou hast done. Lord, remember dear souls in this meeting tonight, some that have just come into this hall for the first time tonight, and we thank God for their coming. Others that have heard it so much, Lord, and we are just so afraid for them. In thy mercy we pray that thou wilt deliver them. Whatever happens, Lord, don't let them go to hell. Remember, Father, tonight the Warnock family in a very special way. And Angie, Nellie, we commend them to thy tender care. Do remember these dear souls tonight not ready for eternity. Oh God, if we never see them again, they never trust Christ. The horror of it is that they'll face this meeting and other meetings for all eternity. Never to have accepted Christ. Bless thy word, we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for coming to the gospel meeting tonight. Delightful to see you. And I think almost every night there are folks here tonight that have been the first time into this hall. We thank you very, very much for coming on behalf of the Christians that meet regularly in the Woodland Drive Gospel Hall. We give you a very, very hearty welcome. If you've come with other folks from some of the other gospel halls in the city, we still thank you for coming and for them being able to bring you coming along. Thank you for coming. Do try and come back. And remember, it's tomorrow night. We'll be giving our testimonies, telling how God has saved us. And then again on Sunday night at 7:30, and the brethren have asked us to announce next week again each night at 8 o'clock, Monday to Friday. Please try and come back and hear the gospel. Whatever you do, my friend, don't miss Christ. Don't miss the kingdom. We'll sing in closing number 254. 254. Number 254 in the gospel meeting will be over.